Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. QT and Sun Guy with you like usual. Want to say happy Earth Day to everybody listening today. And real fast before we jump into things, if you're looking for wrestling today, IWR in Denton, Texas today. IBTW in Westland, Michigan. In Indianapolis, there are two shows, CCW as well as AWR, CPW in Westonville, California, and Blue Collar Wrestling doing the live pay-per-view on the Fight TV app today. So get out there, support local independent wrestling. And I would like to welcome our guest today. She is just getting started in our industry, but Tootie Lynn Ramsey, welcome to Turnbuckle Turmoil.
Hey, thank you for having me, and happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day to you. Well, since today is your very first time with us, we're going to ask you our traditional first-timer question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, growing up watching it as a kid with my grandpa and my stepdad, if it weren't for, like, women like Stephanie McMahon and Chyna and Jacqueline, like, they made me believe, like, wow, females can do this too. So if they can do it, then, you know, hey, why can't I?
Very, very true. Now, when you decided to actually get into the ring and pursue this, what avenue did you go through to get your training? Did you have a lot of familiarity with the independent circuit at that time, or did you know somebody previously in the business?
Well, actually no. So right after I got my black belt, and since wrestling has always been one of my passions, me and my mom were actually doing some research around the St. Louis area. And we heard about this wrestling company called Dynamo Pro. So we went over there, we checked them out, and I started loving it. Like, I love the people there. Like, the training is really good. So I stuck with it.
Now, you mentioned your black belt. Obviously, you had a background that was going to help ease the transition into professional wrestling. Do you think that with your previous background, things were easier for you as far as wrestling training went, or did you have to relearn a lot of things to be able to do what professional wrestlers do?
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, it kind of goes both ways, because, like, with my karate background, like, I put a lot of power into my strikes. I also do that in wrestling, but, you know, I gotta be careful, you know, how I do that. I mean, yeah, I put power into wrestling as well, but I gotta, you know, be careful how I do that when, you know, I get scared that I would actually injure someone. So, yeah, I was,
Go ahead.
So with wrestling, I felt like I was training backwards, because when I was in karate, my sensei trained me to, you know, actually, you know, hurt somebody. or like go for the kill, if you want to say that. But with wrestling, you know, I gotta be careful how I use my martial arts on people.
Opponents would frown on having someone that kills people in the ring with them, for sure.
Right.
Obviously, you're in very, very good shape, and
thank you.
You have to maintain conditioning for professional wrestling. Do you have a certain type of diet and workout program that you're on in order to maintain your ring shape?
I know our trainer Elgin, he has us do cardio every day inside of the ring before we get started on all the other warm-ups and stuff. And then I also you know, walk my dogs every day, like go running with them and stuff. And I mess with the weights in my basement as well.
Since you're still new to the professional wrestling business, obviously there's going to be the majority of your opponents that have more experience than you. A lot of the people in the locker room are going to have decades on you in a lot of cases. Who are some of the people that have been very helpful to you so far as lending advice and trying to teach you the business?
I would definitely say the girls who I work with, definitely them, like Savannah Stone, she's one of them. Rain Victoria's one of them. There's one named Sophie King. She's one of them. They've been a real big help to me, especially when because they know how I am. They know I get scared and nervous before a match, so they've been giving me really good advice lately, and they still are. They're still a big help.
I know you've been around for a little over a year or so at this point. Have there been many times when you've gotten into the ring and you were the more experienced of the people in the ring?
Yes. Actually, matter of fact, that actually happened to me, I want to say, I think it was last month in Indiana at this show called Girl Fight. I was more experienced than these three ladies I was working with. So yeah, that was the first time I've ever been, you know, more you know, advanced than anyone.
Now, Girl Fight is, for the people unfamiliar, an all girls promotion based in the Midwest. They put on really, really great shows, use a lot of very talented ladies on those shows. Our very own Amazing Maria is a big part of those.
Yes.
When you go to a show like Girl Fight and you see predominantly everyone there is a female, from the referees to the announcers to the wrestlers, is there a different type of feeling from you working on a show like that than there is on your standard independent, when you might be one of just a very small amount of ladies, if not the only one?
No, there's not really a difference. I mean, don't get me wrong, I get really happy, like, when I see an all-girls card, because we're already building something. Like, women's wrestling is just getting better and better, like, as it is. So, no, there's not really a difference.
One of the things that I know you have done so far is tag team wrestling. Do you personally have a preference for tag teams versus singles?
Do I have a preference? What do you mean by that?
Do you prefer tag team wrestling, or do you prefer single wrestling, or does it not really matter to you?
Okay. No, it really doesn't matter with me. I love them both.
Obviously, in tag team wrestling, there's a little bit
a different approach to the match. It's a different type of psychology when you get in there for a tag match. Did you find it easier or harder being new to the business to do tag team wrestling, or was it a little bit easier for you learning it as a single wrestler?
At first, it was hard for me because I have to worry about fighting two other girls. So that was the part I was worried about. Like, I would be scared when not to jump in. So it took me a minute to, like, understand it.
One of the overlooked aspects of wrestling is a very good referee. A lot of times a referee that knows what they're doing is able to really help a younger wrestler get through a match. Sometimes they'll be the most experienced person in the match and they help guide things. Sometimes, even if they're not overly experienced, they're able to cover for an inexperienced wrestler to make them look a little more knowledgeable than what they are. Who are some of the better referees so far that you've come across?
Oh, my God. So last Saturday, I met a good ref. His name is Shaf. He reffed a match for me in Savannah Stone. He did a really awesome job. Like, he was very supportive. Like, he basically knew what he was doing. So if anyone's looking for a ref, I would recommend him.
On the opposite end of the spectrum, there are some bad referees out there, and a bad referee can tank a good match in a hurry. Not calling anyone out by name necessarily, but have you been in a situation where the referee maybe didn't know what they were doing and actually hurt your match because of that?
No, I have not experienced that yet, and I hope I never do.
Stay on the independent circuit for a while, and it will eventually happen because it happens to most people at one time or another. Another overlooked aspect in professional wrestling is the ring announcer. They are usually the face of the company. They are who the fans see up front and associate with being with the promotion. A good ring announcer can help a show move along seamlessly. A bad one can usually make it drag and seem like it's a lot longer than it really is. Who are some of the better ring announcers that you've worked with so far?
Ring announcer is this guy. His name is Ben Simon. He's one of the better ring announcers. I just love his energy and how he announces everyone's name. So if anyone's looking for a ring announcer, ask Ben Simon.
All right. Now, I don't know if this would apply to you specifically since you are fairly new, but anyone that gets into the ring for any length of time is going to have injuries pop up from time to time. It's just the nature of the beast. Have you had any injuries so far that you've had to overcome?
No, not yet. Nope, not yet. I'm hoping I don't, neither.
Hopefully not, but that is also something that pretty much happens to everybody if you're in there for any length of time.
Have you ever been on a show? That's something you can't avoid.
That's very, very true. Have you been on shows where there's been a significant injury to someone, maybe not in your match specifically, but just on a show in general?
I've seen someone have, like, a really, really bad nosebleed. in the ring. Like, it was bad. I think the one guy hit him, I guess, too hard by the nose. And, like, the blood, like, it wouldn't, like, stop. It wouldn't stop. Like, it was really hard for him to, like, get it to stop or whatnot.
Nosebleeds are not a fun way to spend an afternoon at a wrestling show. On most independent shows, you're not going to find medical personnel. Usually, if you're very lucky, there might be somebody that has a little bit of background, either as a nurse or an EMT, or they've gotten certification for, like, really low-level medical things.
Mm-hmm.
You don't generally find a lot of, like, paramedics and EMTs and so forth at your standard independent show. Do you think that, by and large, that more companies should look to bring in EMTs or a doctor or something like that just to have them on hand?
Yes, I agree with that, because if something serious happens and no one knows what to do and they do have someone there who is trained to, you know, look into that injured person, then, they definitely should get one.
Some states actually require it as far as the commissions go, so.
I agree.
Speaking of commissions, I know every state is different, and some states have no commission whatsoever. Some of them have extremely strict athletic commissions. Some of them have a commission that's just sort of there, and they aren't overly strict. So far, have you run into many problems dealing with the various state athletic commissions?
No, not at all. Because, like, me, like, I'm already athletic, so, like, they didn't say anything was wrong with me or anything.
In independent wrestling, a lot of the promoters are going to go basically wherever they can put a ring and run a show. You run into a lot of different types of venues. Some of them are great. Some of them are not so great. Some of them are outdoors. Some of them are indoors. But anywhere a ring can be set up, a promoter will try to run it usually. What's been some of the more interesting venues where you've worked?
One of the interesting venues I've worked is, of course, Dynamo. We attract a really good crowd. Like, it's always a lot of people there. I've also worked Girl Fight. That's one of my favorite ones. Pretty sure I've worked some other ones. But yeah, I think so far those two.
I have noticed in your area, from having worked in the Midwest quite a bit myself, that a lot of the girls there are extremely good at striking. There's some very hard forearms being thrown out there. Lots of people that legitimately could be boxing champions if they wanted to, just because they're such phenomenal strikers.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you say Date's been the best striker that you've come across?
Honestly, Savannah Stone.
Now, having wrestled Savannah Stone and taking some of those strikes, would you say that she potentially had a career in boxing or MMA if she ever wanted to go that route?
Definitely, because, like, with her striking, you can hear it. Like, it makes a loud pop, and that's what the crowd likes.
Very true. Wrestling is actually sort of an audible business as well as visual. know, on a similar vein to that, there are still a lot of girls out there that are very technical based and know how to wrestle a very technical, mat based, almost submission based style. Who'd you say is the best overall technical wrestler in your area?
I would say Rain Victoria.
All right. Another aspect of wrestling that isn't as popular now as it used to be, but on the independents you still see a good amount of it, is managers. The art form, as far as national companies, is sort of dying out, but a lot of times on the independents, managers are still very vital to the success of a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Have you come across very many managers in your career to this point?
Like people who want to manage me, or just like other managers in general?
Just in general on shows that you've done.
This Italian couple, this lady, her name is Monica, she manages for her husband, Kareem. So, yeah, I came across those two.
Have you yourself ever looked into getting a manager for your career?
For my career? Not sure, but I think I already have my own manager. I mean, it's my mom. She calls it a momager, so.
Oh, there you go. Usually go to the mom and they're going to steer you right.
Yeah.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know that QT has some questions also, so I'm going to pass things along to him.
All righty.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Tootie.
Hello.
Tootie, it's been well documented that one of your early favorite wrestlers was The Undertaker. But
yes.
What did you think of Paul Bearer, especially when he invited you to come into his parlor?
What?
What did you think of Paul when you first saw Paul Bearer and he said, "Come into my parlor"?
I was terrified.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, did you finally get? When do you think you finally got over your fear of Paul Bearer? And have you met him in person, like at a Comic Con?
Sadly, I have never met him at a Comic Con. Actually, yes, it's true. I used to be scared of Paul Bearer. Like, I mean, and it's funny because I'm attracted to like scary things. Yeah, he's one of the scariest people I've ever seen.
Why do you think women's diva star Jacqueline never went into Paul Bearer's parlor? Could she have found her way out?
Oh, probably because she was smart enough not to go there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Tootie, can you tell us about the physical toll on your body that it took when you ran the ropes for the first time?
Oh, my gosh. When I ran the ropes for the first time, it sucked. I'm not going to lie. It was really sore on my back. Like, I mean, I didn't really feel anything like during the training at first, but it's like as soon as my adrenaline rush left me, like you just felt like a lot of pain back there. And then like I would like my mom would like look at my back and she say I have purple marks on it.
Wow,
so
how
not
did you
fun.
How did you go about treating that? Did she apply a heating pad to it?
So I would take like Epsom salt baths and like sit in there for about a good 15 or 20 minutes. And yeah, I would ice it a lot. It was not fun.
Now the Epsom salt baths, haven't there been occurrences where people freak out and they go running down the street with no clothes on, eating other people's faces? Were you concerned about that?
That's not true. I could tell you that because I took an Epsom salt bath and that has never happened to me.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good. That's okay. Now, Tootie, did you go out for sports in high school?
And matter of fact, yes. The only thing I did in high school, well, not sports in high school, but like outside of high school, I did do karate.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. So you didn't turn out for sports in high school?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. If you could travel back in time and somehow go on a sports team, what would it be? Would it be the track team?
Probably not, because I say that because I'm too short and I have short legs and there's no way I'm going to be able to run past all those taller people.
Well, okay, if you have a low center of gravity and powerful legs, you could always throw in the shot put. Yes. Shot put. Based on my video analysis of you, and I've seen some tapes out there of you, I think you could throw the 8-pound shot put, I'm going to guess, 29 feet 6 inches. 29 feet 6.
I could, yes. I mean, I could try my best.
Oh, okay. Well, do you, you know, you can order shot puts through the catalog. Yes. At Sports Authority. Yes. I think with the glide technique, you could throw 29.6. And if you use the spin technique, I think you could throw over 30 feet. That's based on my analysis of your leg strength.
I will definitely check that out. I actually got to look that up.
Oh, okay. All right. And now in what is becoming a standard question on the show, can we ask what your high school mascot was?
My high school mascot at Hazelwood Central High School was the Hawk.
Oh, the Hawk. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Isn't it pretty ironic that I believe my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington sent me a picture of a hawk showing up on your doorstep?
What? Pardon?
I think there was a hawk showing up on your doorstep, or a falcon.
Oh, that's funny. Nobody ever told me about that.
Now, my wrestling sources could be wrong, but I think I saw a video of a bird of prey showing up on your doorstep. Yes.
Oh, what?
All right, I guess they were wrong. Now, my wrestling sources out of Shelton, Washington are sometimes wrong. Yes. Okay. Well, can I ask what your school colors were? School colors.
The school colors were black and gold.
Oh, okay. Black and gold. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. Well, Tootie, is it your goal to one day meet the Facts of Life actress that played Tootie Ramsey, and in a shoot-like demeanor and voice, challenge her to a Hell in a Cell match?
I hope so, and I hope she accepts the challenge. Matter of fact, I hope she's hearing this right now.
Oh! Is there a little bit of bad blood between you and the real Tootie Ramsey?
Not at all. I mean, I guess the fact that we're both using the same name, so.
Yes, yes. Have you ever considered suing for copyright infringement?
You know what? Not really, but I think I'm going to have to.
Oh, okay. Copyright infringement. Boy, okay. We'll keep track of that on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Okay. All right. Well, Miss Tootie, when you were growing up, did you have any brothers or sisters that you used to wrestle in your backyard? And if so, did you take on the role of Babyface?
Oh my God. Speaking of that, no, not my sisters, because they weren't really interested in the whole wrestling thing. But I could tell you that me and my boy cousins, we would always pretend we were one of the wrestlers. And I would always, like, we set up, like, mattresses and, like, pillows and stuff everywhere. And so I would always pretend I would be Jeff Hardy. And I would want to try the Swanton Bomb. I mean, I think I accidentally hurt one of my cousins doing that. And I do apologize to this day.
A Swanton Bomb. Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
How many people were in attendance to witness this?
You said how many people witnessed it?
Yes, how many people were in attendance?
Well, we were really young when it happened. I forgot who was babysitting us, but it was just me and my cousins. They were the only ones who witnessed it.
Oh, wow. Okay. When you injured your cousin, did you have a moment of panic and realize that you had to concoct a story of when your mom came home, mom and dad?
Well, I mean, I felt really bad for hurting him. He'll be all right, but I felt really bad for hurting him. I honestly don't think my mom knows about the story to this day.
Oh, well, hopefully she will listen to this interview and then ask you. That's my fondest wish. Please forward a copy of this interview to your mom. Yes.
I definitely will.
Now, did you ever pull a foreign object out of your trunks during these childhood wrestling matches? A foreign object?
No, not me, but they would try to, like, use, like, sticks and, like, other objects. They would try to use chairs on each other. Not me. I wasn't taking no chair shot.
Oh, okay. All right. At any time in your childhood wrestling, did you adopt the persona of Doink the Clown?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, Tootie, can we ask what your entrance music is?
My entrance music right now to this day is called J-Ho by the Pussycat Dolls.
Oh, okay. J-Ho by the Pussycat Dolls. Well, I think I myself now have a homework assignment to look this song up. Can
okay.
I suggest that you yourself, have you ever considered using the song Into the Void by Black Sabbath?
I would have to listen to it. I would have to listen to it first.
Okay. All right. How about Sky Pilot by Eric Burdon and the Animals?
Oh, I would have to listen to that, too.
Oh, all right. Well, Tootie, you'll be pleased to know that we at Turnbuckle Turmoil have a homework assignment folder. I'm in charge of keeping that up. And under 422.18, I have the following insertion. Have Tootie Lynn Ramsey listen to Sky Pilot by Eric Burdon and the Animals.
All right.
Now, I think they did that song in 1967, and it's like an anti-war song. The Vietnam War was going strong at that point.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you'll like Eric Burdon's voice. He also did a song called House of the Rising Sun, and We
mm-hmm.
Gotta Get Out of the Space. Yes.
Okay.
Boy, if you could ever use those for your entrance music, all the other girls would go, what? Yes.
I should definitely look into those songs.
They would consider you like a music historian. Yes.
Yeah.
Especially if you used Into the Void by Black Sabbath 1 week and Sky Pilot the other.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely looking into those songs.
Oh, okay. Well, Tootie, you are in very good company in this homework assignment folder. For instance, on April 13th of this year, we told Max Holiday, to look up the movie Dumb and Dumber and see the restaurant where they killed the mob hitman. And it took place at the restaurant Dante's Inferno. I hope he did that homework assignment.
Oh, wow.
And then on March 25th, we gave wrestler Dusty Gold the homework assignment of looking up the Jim Ryan High School 4-minute mile run.
Really?
Yes. What this had to do with wrestling, I'm not sure. Maybe I asked a question about cardio. Yes. Yes. But one video that was wrestling inspired, I have here on March 18th, assigned Dean Hill the YouTube video Al Bundy Gets Splashed by Big Mama. What was your opinion of the Women of Glow? Women of Glow.
My opinion on them?
Yes. Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Yeah, see, they're the women I would want to thank to this day as well, because without them, I don't think I would be where I am.
Oh, okay. All right. Have you yourself seen the video where Al Bundy gets splashed by Big Mama?
I have not, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that will be your third homework assignment when you look up Sky Pilot and Into the Void. I think that'd be a little bit more of a lighthearted approach. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Now, we also gave women's champ Casey Carlisle on November 1st, 2015, look up Team IOU versus the Soul Shooters. Are you familiar with this women's champ from Virginia, Casey Carlisle?
Casey, unfortunately, I'm not. I'm really sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Casey Carlisle is the main focus of Sign Guy's YouTube videos, Sign of the Times. Maybe we could give Sign Guy a homework assignment and have him forward one of his favorite Sign of the Times to you.
Okay.
And you can see this Casey Carlisle with her huge title belts, very huge title belts.
Casey Carlisle. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I hope Sign Guy does accept this homework assignment himself. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Tootie, how far did you have to travel to Girl Fight Wrestling, and is there any chance that you drove a 1973 Cadillac Eldorado to Girl Fight Wrestling?
No, I did not drive a 1973 Cadillac. I had to drive, I believe it was 4 hours. Yeah, I had to drive 4 hours up there.
Wow. Okay, 4 hours. Who did you drive with? Who was your co-pilot?
My mom, and I drove with another female wrestler named Miss Monica.
Oh, wow. Okay, very good. Now, did you all pool your money together beforehand and get an extra large coffee at a pilot rest stop? A pilot.
I don't think so.
Okay, you're kind of a little bit in the gray area as whether you did purchase a coffee at Pilot. How about a Waffle House? Did you purchase any coffee at Waffle House?
We did not. Sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Tootie, my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington inform me that you work at PetSmart. Is this true?
Yes.
Has there ever been a time when a Doberman or pit bull acts up and you have to put on he or she in their place by cutting an animal themed promo?
No, I didn't have to cut a promo on them. I would just tell them I'm going to call their parents on them.
Ah, parents. Okay. Very good. Okay. Maybe a choke chain. Very good. All right.
Yeah, it usually works too. It's like they understand us or something.
Oh, they okay.
Yeah.
I think they understand wrestlers a little bit better than your common civilian. Okay, very good. Have a little bit more respect. Okay. Well, Tootie, can you tell us what the hall or venue you wrestle at the most with your current wrestling organization? Is it a VFW hall?
VFW hall. What's that?
Well, it's a Veterans of Foreign Wars hall. That's a very common one that Sign Guy and myself go to in North Portland. I'm just wondering what the venue or building you most wrestle in in Missouri.
Oh, my home, Dynamo Pro.
Okay, Dynamo Pro. Mm. Is that the name? Is that itself a name of a gym or building?
That's the name of the company itself.
Oh, okay. Yes, well, I thought that this company may have named a building after itself, like in a copyright type sort of thing. Yes.
Right.
Well, what is the building you most wrestle in?
The building I most wrestle in St. Louis is Concordia Gym Turners.
Oh, a Concordia Gym.
Yeah.
Is that GIM or actually gymnasium?
Gymnasium.
Oh, okay, very good. Well, this was paramount for my next question. Okay. Now, Tootie, I was listening to an old interview that we did with Northwest wrestler Diafola Dabashi, the Yemeni assassin. He's not a terrorist, he's just a terror in the ring.
Oh, okay.
And in this interview, I mentioned that EMP experts and paranormal enthusiasts have recorded conversations between the dearly departed.
Oh,
one of the most clear recordings occurred at the Civil War battlefield site of Gettysburg. You can distinctly hear a major tell a quartermaster, and the major was a surgeon, a medical surgeon. He told a quartermaster, or one who orders supplies for the troops, "Dang it, quartermaster, I told you I needed bandages and chloroform, and you bring me these newfangled deodorant sticks." That really happened.
What? Wow. That's actually scary.
It is scary, yes. Here you have these Civil War soldiers dying of horrific musket shots and gangrene.
Mm-hmm.
He brings them deodorant sticks. You can actually hear a ghostly conversation. Yes.
Oh, wow. That is really creepy.
Yes. And that leads me to the question, years from now, at Concordia Gym, what will you hear in a ghostly conversation between you and Savannah Stone?
No. Most probably, probably kill each other.
Okay, kill each other. Yeah, would there be any conversations about what you would order at Waffle House afterwards, and who would pay the tip?
Probably the ghost.
Oh, okay, very good. All right. Okay. Well, I realize that was a slightly offhanded question, but, you know, those ghostly conversations kind of, you know, they blend into the Undertaker questions asked earlier, at least in my mind. Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Tootie, I have a book here before me called The Future Is Now NXT, and they have a foreword by Vince McMahon, and it's mostly a book that was written by Triple H and his establishment of NXT. And I'd like to read you a passage from page 185. And I think this chapter is called Give Divas a Chance. Are you ready for this passage that I found kind of inspiring and interesting? Oh, okay. All right. Now, it's quite the polar opposite of that conversation we had about Civil War ghosts at Gettysburg. So, okay. Okay. Our female performers are superstars by any definition of the word, says Stephanie McMahon. WWE's chief brand officer, for them to have the opportunity to succeed and earn the respect as their male counterparts is extremely important for WWE. What we've called the Divas Revolution is actually part of a larger revolution happening throughout sports and entertainment. You look at the success of Ronda Rousey, Venus and Serena Williams, the U.S. women's soccer team, and so many other inspiring women, and you wonder, why shouldn't our female performers have the same opportunity in WWE? Not only are they world-class athletes, they are actors, public speakers, philanthropists, and role models. They inspire women and girls all over the world to be confident and strong. And the WWE universe demanded that our female performers be given this spotlight when they started a hashtag on Twitter called Give Divas a Chance. It trended worldwide for 3 days. The message was one of empowerment. It was a cry for WWE to have more character development and feature our women in more prominent storylines and longer matches, giving them the platform to showcase their incredible talents. This movement was so important that our chairman and CEO, Vince McMahon, responded personally on Twitter, "We hear you. Keep watching. Give Divas a chance." My question is, have you yourself been to bookstores in the Missouri area and seen this book, The Future Is Now, NXT?
No, honestly, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a very good book, and I recommend that.
Okay. It's called The Future Is Now, NXT.
Yes.
Yeah, I need to go to my library and see if it's there.
Yes, go to the library first so you can cut overhead expenses.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so you can afford those four-hour trips in the car. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, you know, you over a lifetime, if you cut those overhead expenses, you can afford that 1973 Cadillac Eldorado.
I will definitely look into that.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Okay. I don't know why I myself have a 73 Cadillac Eldorado on my mind. I don't know. It's come up in several Turnbuckle Turmoil interviews throughout the years. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mostly in our game that we have on here called Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk, where you
right.
have to make choice between two subject matters.
Okay.
But unfortunately, I woke up kind of late, and I didn't have time to have a Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk for you. I'm very sad.
Aww.
Yes.
Maybe next time.
Well, I can, right off the top of my head, I can do three of them. Are you ready to bring on the choice, bring on the funk?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very good. Okay. All right. First one, Coke or Pepsi?
Definitely Pepsi.
Okay. Deep fried Twinkie or deep fried Snickers bar?
Deep fried Snickers bar.
Oh, okay. All right. Denny's or Waffle Hut?
Waffle Hut.
Okay. And the last one, Michelle McCool or Jillian? Or Jacqueline.
Jacqueline.
Wow. Okay. Now, that was right off the top of my head and not planned. Bring on the choice, bring on the funk. You did very well.
Oh, thank you.
And there were no wrong answers.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
No wrong answer. Oh, okay. All right. And in my last question, have you yourself have any run-ins with a bell ringer at your events? The bell ringer.
Have any runs? Like, what do you mean?
Run-ins with the bell ringer, the guy that rings the bell to start the matches. Sometimes the bell ringer and the referee, and indeed, the management itself, cannot be in sync.
I don't think I've had that happen to me before.
Okay, all right. Sometimes I have heard on very rare occasions that the bell ringer can throw a wrestler off right when he's about to pin an opponent. You know, you go to pin your opponent, and then you hear a ding, 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 and they both look up, and it throws off the pinning wrestler's, concentration. I've heard that happen on very rare occasions. Okay. Can we ask who your local bell ringer is?
Our local bell ringer? Our local bell ringer name is, how could I forget? What is wrong with my brain today? I'm sorry, I forgot. I'm sorry, my brain is not working today.
Oh, no problem. You can do some research and get back to Sign Guy on that, and he will send you, hopefully, a Sign of the Times video with Casey Carlisle. All right, well, Tootie, for me, it was very nice talking with you, and I hope you have time to do your homework assignment and look up Sky Pilot by Eric Burdon and Into the Void by Black Sabbath as possible entrance music.
I will definitely look into that.
Oh, okay. All right, and at this time, I'm turning it back over to Sun Guy.
All righty.
Thank you, QT.
You're welcome.
Well, Tootie, you have a unique style in professional wrestling, and you have, of course, a karate background. Are there any styles of wrestling that you are a fan of that you may not use yourself that you want to learn more about and implement that in what you do in the ring?
I believe Tootie needs to learn more submission styles, because she's already a high flyer and she's like off her feet a lot, and she's more of a striker. So I definitely would think she should learn submissions.
One of the goals that a lot of wrestlers have is to get to Japan. There's been more and more opportunities for American independent wrestlers to go to Japan in the last couple of years than there had been in the past. Is Japan something that's on your radar as a career goal?
Yes, it is.
Now, looking at the landscape, is there one dream promotion in Japan that you would most like to go and work for, or is it just Japan in general?
It could be either or. It could be Japan in general, or I would definitely like to try. I would like to try New Japan.
New Japan also has the explosion here in the States in the last couple of years. They have toured the United States a little bit. A lot of the New Japan wrestlers work at Ring of Honor, and of course the New Japan app lets fans here see the major shows. It's similar to the WWE Network, and they are on Access TV here in the States. Do you think that Japanese wrestling in the next few years might rival some of the bigger U.S. promotions as far as popularity with American fans?
Probably, because like a lot of people love Japanese wrestlers, so I would definitely think they would be a competition down here.
Well, we have just a few minutes in the show left, so I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you have, social medias, upcoming shows, merchandise, your
favorite laundromat, anything in the world, the floor is all yours.
Well, I would like to say to my listeners, thank you for listening, first of all, and just always follow your dreams. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. I have an upcoming show in New Bern, Tennessee, Universal Ladies of Wrestling. And then I actually have two Dynamo shows coming up in May. May 4th is May the 4th be with you in Glen Carbon, Illinois. And then May 5th we have Cinco de Mayo. And that's like, I believe that's downtown in St. Louis.
All right. Well, Tootie, it was an absolute pleasure having you on Turnbuckle Turmoil today. I want to wish you the best of luck as you continue with your career, and hopefully we'll get the chance to have you back on here down the road.
All right, thank you so much for having me.
All right, fans, if you've not yet seen Tootie Lynn Ramsey on a show near you, buy a ticket, go check her out, support what she's doing. I think she's going to go places in this business, and get out there. If there's any wrestling near you, support it. I will be at the Blue Collar Wrestling Live pay-per-view. So if there is no show near you, you can always download the Fight TV app and put down a few dollars and watch while we're doing at the North Portland Eagles later tonight. So get out there, support your local independent professional wrestling, and we will talk to you next week.